listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat. All right, guys, today is July 12th, 2015. We're doing a little audio chat, as I told people to come into the audio chat. And today we have a new voice, O'Hallahan. O'Hallahan. Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, doing okay.
Now, you say you had you have a podcast? Do I know
it? I had. Yeah, about 2 years ago, I was doing O'Hallahan's Observations.
Okay.
And, I stopped about 2 years ago. I love Mammies. I'm on Mammies all the time.
Oh,
and,
okay.
I was listening to one of my favorite podcasters, Scorpio. And, Scorpio, had said on one of his podcasts, he said, do something, just don't sit there and listen. Just, do something, anything. Do a podcast, and look, if your podcast sucks, just don't do it again, but at least try it one time. And I was overwhelmed by that logic. So O'Hallahan's Observations. Yeah. So
you heard that?
Yeah, what was that?
Oh, that's your podcast.
That was my podcast, yeah. That was my podcast. That was one of the intro songs.
Or whenever they can take down an animal. And they
got a good microphone there.
Yeah, it's just a headset, just a cheap headset.
Oh, good. You got a good radio voice.
Thanks.
I honestly never heard any of these, so now that maybe I should download a few.
Yeah, I used to promote you. It was back when you were Radio Aborado.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking for podcast one. I see every one except podcast one.
Podcast 8,
5,
one is
6, 5, 4, 3, 6, 10, 9, 2.
Yeah, it should be there. If you go to Kiwi and type in O'Hallahan's Observations, it should be there. But
Kiwi?
Yeah, you were Radio Aborado, and I was like, oh
yeah,
man, I really love this guy, and I just butchered your name.
Oh, isn't that nice? Thank you.
Yeah, I was, I was like, Aborado.
Abadabadoo.
Yeah, and the next week you were Fakeologist, and I'm like, oh God, he heard me butcher his name.
No, God, no. Aborado didn't mean too much, and I think I chose that before I wanted to even do a podcast. Maybe it happened at the exact same time.
Yeah.
I decided on that pseudonym.
Yeah. But I got to tell you. Yeah. Oh, go ahead. I interrupted you.
No problem. There's a little bit of lag, I guess.
Yeah.
I can't find your first one. I see every other one. Interesting. Oh, wait,
good
here they
grief.
Are in Kiwi. Okay, I found it.
Yeah, Kiwi 6.
My first podcast. Well, that's cool. I'm going to download it. I'm going to download it. I wonder if it has a feed.
I can't believe that some people, I mean, not some people, I mean, there's a good number of people that are still listening to them, and it was about 2 years ago.
Well, I guess Mammies is really popular.
Yeah, and I do everything that I can to promote Mammies. I love Mammies. I'm there 3 times a day, and I've been there for years. I love those guys. They will not even take a donation. They everything that they do for free. They post all the best podcasts. All the best intellectuals writing on these topics that concern us. Guys are putting in time. For free.
Do you have a favorite podcast of yours that I should particularly listen to?
I have a group of favorites, but I got to tell you that it's, I'm not stroking you when I say that it's Fakeologist. You guys, and there's a lot of things that I want to tell you, and one of them is Hoi Polloi. You did a podcast about a month ago with a gentleman, David, was it David Wise or Weiss?
That was K-Ham. K-Ham did it. K-Ham is her own person. I really have, all I'm doing is just helping your host. Just, there's no, people need to realize there's no connection whatsoever. And
between you and her?
She doesn't necessarily represent my views either, as I don't probably necessarily represent hers, just so you know. There's zero connection. I'm just helping her out.
I thought there was a connection between you and Simon and Poi Poloi.
No. There's no connection at all. People need to get over this association and linking of people. It's not necessary. It isn't, really.
Yeah. I've got this whole super friends fantasy in my head where, like, we're all superhero friends. I've got this cape with this big O on my chest.
All right. Well, Hoi Polloi is a brilliant guy. I've said it many times in print, and I said it right to his face. I think he's a great thinker. Kay Ham is great, too. Very educational in the way she speaks to people.
You know what was great about Hoi Polloi was the way he questioned David Weiss. And it wasn't that David Weiss was lying or something. I don't know David Weiss. I don't know if his story is true or false.
Me neither.
But it was the questions. It was the way he questioned it. And it made me focus on exactly what I think I know, you know, and I thought that that was extremely important. And I started scrambling to, you know, find his email, or I wanted to tell him, thanks, you know, thank you for doing that, because I wanted to focus, you know, I don't know Dave Weiss, but I wanted to focus on exactly what my story was. I mean, can I get the absolute truth in exactly what I saw and what I know and things like that? And I tell you, you know, nothing is 100%. This is one of the things that I tell my friends, that, you know, 100% is our idea of God. You know, it's perfection, you know, and no one has 100%. We're all struggling for the 100%, you know. I mean, there's even fiction in the things that I say, and I'm a reasonably honest guy, you know, and there is fiction in what I say. And the reason that there's fiction in what I say is because if I tell you the absolute truth, it's boring, you know, and I don't want you to think that I'm boring. I want to be liked just like everyone else. And so I'll rev it up a little bit, you know, and I, you know, after listening to Hoi Polloi, I just, you know, what exactly did I see? Whether it's boring or not, or whether it's self-aggrandizing or not, what exactly happened? I want to know the truth. And I've been asking the powers, you know, for probably 20 years that this is all I want, is I want to know exactly the truth. And I got to tell you, be careful what you wish for, dude. You know, I've gotten so far down the rabbit hole, you know, it's like, you know, the Spinal Tap movie where the blonde-haired lead singer says, yeah, it's perspective, all right. It's too much fucking perspective. And that's where I'm at. It's, I just have too much fucking perspective at this point. You know, it's, you know, everything's a hologram. The world is flat. The world religions are false, you know. I these major events in history are all faked, you know, and I just want to sit down with Kayhem and just, you know, say, you know, and she's got that soothing, you know, motherly voice, and just, you know,
she is a mother.
Yeah, just like cry on her lap and just, you know, Marie O'Hallahan, it's, you know, it's all fake anyway. Don't worry. You just have her pat my shoulder.
So you're in Korea, you said?
Yeah, South Korea. It's 7 o'clock in the morning, and actually, I'm probably annoying the hell out of my wife by talking.
Okay.
Yeah, but she'll be up soon anyway. So, at least I hope so, because I need another cup of coffee, and I don't feel like making it. But yeah, so dude, it's great to finally talk to you. I've been listening to you for so many years now. You know, admiring your podcast from the other side of the planet.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, well,
yeah,
you should have called in anytime.
Yeah,
I'm not each other in the different time zones.
No, you know, it's that, and second, it's like I'm shy, you know, like I'm not a chatter, and,
well,
you know,
you sound like you're a chatter.
Yeah, thank you. I do my best, you know, like I.
You sound like you a know, reasonable person.
Yeah, I just, you know, I get into these chats and like people ask me questions like, what do you think about Hitler? And it's like, I don't know anything about Hitler. I don't,
you know? Never met the man. Just say that.
You know, I remember you know, the guys from Mammy's are like my heroes. You know, I love all those guys, you know, and
I like Dell. Dell is the only one I know of.
Oh, Dell is great. You know, all of them, Foon and Zap Hopper and Dave Grissom, and they had Scorpio's one of my big heroes, loved all his podcasts, and you know, all those guys were in a Skype channel together, and they brought me in, and that was the question they asked me, what do you think about Hitler? And I just sounded like the biggest dickhead. I don't know anything about Hitler. You know, like
I'm, you know what you're told.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I was listening to, you know, or I was watching the movies, The Band of Brothers, and I read that guy's books, Ambrose, is that what his name is? Stephen Ambrose or something?
I never heard of any of that.
Yeah, I was deep into, mainstream history when I was young and it was only, you know, within the past, maybe 15 years that I began to understand that all of this history that we think we know is fake. You know, and when, you know, I'm a big fan of Deanna Spingola and Charles Giuliani. And
call into Deanna's show. Your voice sounds familiar in that way.
No, I never, I've been on Charles' program a couple of times, but not Deanna's.
Oh, okay. Does he still do a show?
Does Charles? Charlie still? Oh yeah, yeah. And I got it. It's spectacular, Ab. You got to listen to it.
Heard him with Dell. I used to listen when he was on with Dell.
Yeah, if you go to Mammy's, he's on her every day, and you
he's
know,
doing a broadcast.
Oh yeah, it's
every day.
Yeah, he's on a new network now. I just don't.
How does he do it every day? How does anyone do it every day? I wonder.
I don't know, but. But man, he comes up with a 2-hour podcast that's spectacular every single day. And he even got trolled by the Howard Stern show. I was, you know,
yeah,
he
I
didn't
heard
know
that.
Who,
I
yeah, listened he
to
didn't
Howard
know.
Stern.
Yeah. Yeah, he got trolled by the Howard Stern. Did Howard actually broadcast him on the Charles Giuliani show? Or it wasn't him, it was Evil Dave was on there with him and
do you know the Howard Stern show? Because
I'm from New Jersey. I grew up in the tri-state area. It's
okay.
You know,
so
this is some of the things that I can confirm about Dave Weiss's story is that he was listening to the Howard Stern show on 9/11, and so was I. And
lots I'm of people.
Dude, I'm embarrassed to admit that. You know,
I listen to Howard.
It's fucking radio pornography, dude. And it's just dumbed down BS. And I in my profile on your website, I told you where I was. I was on the New Jersey Turnpike when the Twin Towers were burning.
Okay.
I was right there. You know, I was right there. And I graduated from the university, and the best job that I could find after I graduated was driving a tractor trailer. I could either be I could make $300 a week as a as an apprentice psychological counselor. I have a degree in psychology.
Wow.
Or I could drive a truck and make $1,000 a week. And so I started making $1,000. I started driving a truck. Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So I got to tell you, Ab,
well, you do a lot of radio listening.
Yeah,
because
it was. Yeah. And it was a picture perfect day. It was a picture perfect day. And, I was on in New Jersey, and I've gone over the story in my head, you know, imagining talking to you, telling you the story 1,000 times. And I wanted it to come out perfect because I know you're a big fan of the 9/11 conspiracy. And I want to tell you exactly what I saw. All right. I went to work, and dude, it was a blue sky, not a cloud in the sky day, right?
Okay, that's good.
One of those days, it was one of those days where you wake up and it's the perfect temperature. It's not too hot. It's not cold or even cool. There's no humidity in the air. Like it's just a bright, sunny, birds are chirping, beautiful day, right?
Okay.
And I get on the roads, and at the time, this did not register, right? But it was, the traffic was unusually light. It was unusually light, right? I go and I get my truck. I prep it. I go and they hand me this assignment for Linden, New Jersey. And I just threw up my hands like, I'm going home early today, guys. It's a beautiful day. I'm going home early. I got Linden, New Jersey, right? And so I...
That was a close run?
Yeah. So I had to go around. I had to go around to a local loading dock. And so they load my, you know, trailer, and I hop in the rig, and I pull out onto the New Jersey Turnpike, and it was like, today was my lucky day. I got to play the lottery like 100 times today because there's no traffic on the New Jersey Turnpike.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe it. I've been on, yeah, at that time, I was actually worried because I was out there at like, I don't know, at like 7:30 or something, or 8 o'clock somewhere. What time did the Twin Towers start falling again? So it was something like quarter
to 9 in the
morning.
Well, I think the whole event started at 10 to 9.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. And so I was out there at like, I don't know, like, let's say 8:30, right? And usually around 8:30, I was worried because I was thinking, oh, man, I'm getting out a little late, and the traffic on the New Jersey Turnpike is going to be murder because everyone is going to be, you know, it's like it's work time. You know, it's rush hour, too. It's rush. Everyone's rushing to work. Right?
I know.
And I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be trafficy. And I couldn't believe it. I'm out there on the New Jersey Turnpike, and I'm at full speed. And I'm like, this is my lucky day. You know, it's a beautiful day. I'm definitely getting off early because I'm going to get to this drop-off point. I'm going to drop off. I'm going to come back, and you know, the rest of the day is going to be free. I'm going to be outside. I'm going to be doing some exercise. Today's my lucky day. And then all of a sudden, boom, traffic stops. And I'm listening to the Howard Stern show, and Howard said something about a plane flying into the first tower, right? And if I'm remembering this correctly, he speculated something about a drunk dentist, you know, flying his plane, you know, into the tower. And that's, you know, I'm working, you know what I mean? I'm listening to Howard, but I'm really not focusing on what he's saying. You know, I've got both windows are open on both sides of the cab. The sound of the engine is gone. And so I don't hear him that well anyway. I remember Dave Weiss said something about Pam Anderson was the guest on the Howard Stern show.
Oh, yeah, I've listened to the Howard Stern show for 9/11 many times.
Was it Pam Anderson?
Yeah, yeah.
I just didn't remember Pam Anderson. I you know, but I see, then again, I was busy. You know what I mean? Like I was loading the trailer, and you know, like I didn't realize that it was Pam Anderson, but so anyway, I get right into Linden, New Jersey, and traffic comes to a dead stop, and I'm like, oh man, my luck just ran out. You know, I just rolled snake eyes. My luck just crapped out.
Yeah.
And this woman, you know, I mean, traffic comes to a dead stop where I shut the rig off, right? I pulled the air brakes and I just shut the rig off. And this woman hops out of her car with this camera that has a telescopic lens, and she runs across my tractor, right, in front of it to the railing on the other side. And I look up when she does that, and there's smoke coming from the Twin Towers. Right. And this is where I start thinking, you know, I saw black smoke. Right. But, you know, I'm thinking hoi polloi, you know, exactly what color was that smoke? And I, for some reason, I remember it as black smoke. I don't remember it as gray. I don't remember it as white smoke. I remember it as black.
Yeah. Right? Well, that could still fit the Clues Forum September Clues model, I think.
Yeah. Yep. But, dude, there were no planes. All right. Now, when I mean, there were no planes in the sky, and I, like, it was dead silent. You know, it was this, and that is unusual in the tri-state area. In the tri-state area, we are used to planes flying over us constantly, and I remember it being dead silent. All right. And a couple minutes later, traffic started moving, and the cops started diverting us off, and I didn't think that was unusual at the time, but looking back at it, I don't know. Those cops seemed to be, like, it seemed to be coordinated awfully quickly. You know, like, how did the cops get there so fast and all of a sudden we're, I don't know. So I got to my loading dock in Linden, New Jersey, which is, you know, I guess below, you know, the turnpike is elevated, right? So you've got a full view of Manhattan and it's a clear day. But when you get to the loading dock, it's below, you know, so I couldn't see anything else. And you couldn't take the New Jersey Turnpike home, so I had to actually drive through Linden and then, I don't know, what's the next town after Linden? I guess Rahway and then back to New Brunswick where my terminal was. And so I didn't see the towers again, but I had been listening to the radio the whole time that we were under some kind of terrorist attack. And I got to tell you that, you know, there's a psychological concept that when people are frightened, they become childlike. You know, they become easy to manipulate.
Absolutely.
And I got to tell you, Ab, I was frightened like you wouldn't believe.
I think everyone was.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that there was going to be a nuclear weapon was going to go off. And we were done.
I think everyone's mind was racing.
Yep. And, I mean, I'm right there. I mean, I'm, you know.
That's pretty cool. It's a pretty good story.
Yeah, I mean, I had broken up with a girlfriend that I had loved, you know, and I had called her as soon as I got home. I called her and I just told her how much I loved her because I thought we were going to be dead, you know. I'm sorry for breaking up with you. You know, I really love you. You know, we got back together because I was so scared. But
9/11 brought us together.
Yeah. And I can remember her daughter actually saying that you know, 9/11 actually brought you and mom together.
That's nice.
Love story. It's, you know, 9/11 insanity. But I think the difference between me and the average guy that saw 9/11 was simply my background in education, right? I had studied psychology and philosophy. And I had a fireball professor. Ab, you still there? Ab?
Yeah, I'm still here. Sorry, I had to mute for a sec.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, I just heard a click, so I thought maybe you were gone. Do you want me to go into the story? Do you want me to?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. I had, one of my biggest problems is that you try and tell the average guy about how the world really works. And not only do they not believe it, not only do they not understand it, not only do they not check it out, but they actually have scorn for you after, you know, like you're unpatriotic or you are a crazy person or, you know, you're delusional or you're a conspiracy theorist, you know?
Yeah.
My own brother is an architect. My brother's an architect in New Jersey, and he's been an architect his entire life, and he's brilliant. He's a graduate from NJIT. They would never let me into NJIT. My brother has heavy math skills. He's a very logical guy. He graduated at the top of his class from NJIT, right? And I try to tell my brother takes his sons down to Ground Zero every year. Right. And I try to tell him, Tom, look, there's no way. Look, you are an architect. There's no way that the building is going to fall like that. You know, please watch this movie. Right. And my own brother won't take 45 minutes to an hour out of his own day. It broke up our family. I haven't talked to my brother in it's got to be 10 years. And it's over this topic. And
I'm listening.
Yeah, and but it struck me that my brother has got a degree in the sciences, right? I have a degree in the humanities, right? I've read things like this. I've been into things like this. You know, I've taken history courses. I had a fireball professor who was a little guy from South America who had a master's degree working on a PhD in South American studies. And he was the one that opened my eyes to the crimes of the United States. And it was his big thing in that particular semester was Operation Condor. And I talked about this in one of my podcasts where the United States at the behest of the fruit conglomerate overthrew the president of Guatemala. They killed him, and they had him. They said what happened is that this guy got elected. It's Guatemalan president got elected through the democratic process. He got elected, right? And he noticed that his country, Guatemala, was a one big fucking banana plantation, right? And you cannot live on bananas, right? The peasants right. were starving to death. You can't live on bananas, right? The whole country was a big banana farm at the behest of the American fruit, glitterati or conglomerate or whatever you want to call it, And so what he did was is that he nationalized the land and he gave it back in parcels, excuse me, to the peasants, right? And so what happened is that the fruit interests got together and they lobbied Congress and they had him declared a communist, right? And then so the United States sent troops over there and they killed him and they replaced him with a military dictator that sent the peasants back to the banana farms at the point of guns. Any peasant that wouldn't comply,
I believe that. What do they call that? Economic terrorism?
Yeah, they just killed them. And here's some background in my thinking, right? I'm an honest guy, right? I'm the neighbor that you always had that when you pass that neighbor, he always waves to you and you always wave back. I've always got something nice to say about somebody. I always assume the best about people. And, this was, my country, right? When I was young, I was a goody two-shoes. I was an athlete, right? And, I can remember, in high school, one guy was smoking marijuana, and he says, "Hey, you want to try some?" And I said, "No, I don't do that." Right. So at my high school prom, they were doing cocaine, and they didn't even call me. They didn't even call me. Right. They just
I'm that guy too.
And the thing is that on the gullibility scale, I'm a 10. You could tell me any bullshit story, and if you're my friend, I'm going to believe you, even if you're not my friend. Because my first thought is, why would this guy lie? I'm gullible. I'm very gullible because I'm a nice guy. I'm reasonably honest as I can be with people. And so I just assume that people are honest with me too, right? So I assume the best of, about people. And I assumed the best about my country. I just assumed that my country was what they told me it was, that it was like some great, shining, what did they say, some shining city on the hill or some bullshit like that. And
you are a victim of the great American psyop. I did a post on fakeologist.com on that, where Americans are basically delusioned.
Yeah.
Cut off from the world to think that they're the best in the world.
Yeah. And, Ab, I gotta tell you, I am guilty. I am guilty. I'm guilty. Oh, my God.
Nothing wrong with being guilty because the plan is very good, isn't it?
Yeah. When they told me that planes flew into the towers and then disintegrated, I believed it. Oh. My God.
I'm sure everybody did. Why would you question it?
I'm telling you, steel disintegrating. It never even occurred to me to go to the periodic table and look at the temperatures and the temperature of this. And I just, have ever in your life, I mean, Ab, I'm almost 52, right?
Yeah, we're sort of the same age.
Yeah. And I was an older guy. I was educated. I was mature. I wasn't a young kid, and I bought that story of disintegrating steel. How does steel disintegrate? I want to go back to my younger self and just scream at him and go, how can you be so fucking stupid? How does steel disintegrate? Oh my God. If I was an honest guy, I would have turned in my degree right there. I would have went back to my university and just tore it up and just said, here, I'm not worthy of this, you know. But
yeah, I know what you're saying. Well,
yeah, you know.
Yeah. So when did you decide that there was a problem with the official story?
Well, one of the things that there are guiding principles in my life, personal principles that I have, and that is principles of morality. I don't hurt people. You know, I don't physically hurt them. I don't psychologically hurt them. I don't hurt people. One of my overriding philosophies is that everyone has a right to their life. You know, no matter how much they fuck up, no matter how many bad decisions they make, they still have a right to their life. You know, it's not up to me to take their life or to change their life or to manipulate their life. Everyone has a right to their life, right? So this is a guiding principle of mine. I'm not a bully. You know, I would never go to a foreign country with a weapon in my hand and start shooting people at the orders of a third party, right? And George W. Bush, we had just come off of Bill Clinton, who was one of the most embarrassing presidents. I mean, you know, getting oral sex in the White House, you know, MENA, Arkansas. I was aware of these things. You know, Kosovo, bombing in Kosovo, it was an embarrassment. You know, I am not in favor of bombing anybody for any reason at all. And I think it was Kahem that recently said, you know, maybe it wasn't Kahem. It was somebody that recently said something that I really agree with, and that is that civilized countries don't build bombs, right? We have this idea that the United States and the Western world is civilized. Civilized countries don't build bombs, right? And I am very much in tune with that quote. So George W. Bush says we're going to war, and my first thought was no. Right. Okay. This is a bunch of guys in caves. Just go to the caves and arrest them. This is a police action. We have precedent for police actions, right? Korean War, Vietnam War, police actions. Do not go to war. All right. And so we went to war, and the bombing of these, you know, these are Saudi hijackers, and we're in Afghanistan, right? And that's nice. There's something wrong with this. There's something wrong. All right. And again, my head is still filled with my fireball professor and Operation Condor. I just said, I got to get out. I got to get out of here. I got to stop this. And I had at that time when I came to that conclusion, I had stopped driving a truck. I had gotten a teaching license. There's this university that's close to Princeton called Rider College, and you just go there. They had it on like a Saturday, and you take a test, and you get your teacher's license. So I was doing some substitute teaching. I was driving a taxi at night, and I hated driving a truck, so I was just driving a taxi at night, and I was doing substitute teaching during the day. It was a terrible job. And I had read John Taylor Gatto also, and I was fully aware that this was indoctrination, and it was right in my face at that point. I have other stories to tell you about that, but for another time. But
you got a lot of good stories.
Oh, yeah, stories. Yeah, with the operant word story. I've got hoi polloi on my head. How much of that story is real, you know?
Good.
Yeah, so yeah, so finally I was, you know, as a hobby, I build computers as a hobby. And I can, if you need a computer upgrade, let me know. I'll help you build it right through the web. And
well, I am interested in that, to be honest with you. I buy at Tiger Direct most of my stuff, and I notice they're always advertising bare bones kit.
Yeah, I can save even more money than that. I am interested
in doing that, actually.
Yeah.
Can build a desktop for pretty cheap now, right?
Oh yeah. I've taught a couple guys just recently. I taught a guy who, you know, he's a big gamer and he wanted to You know, he was about to buy a gaming rig, and I said, don't buy a gaming rig. You build a gaming rig. And, you know, he says, how do you build a computer? And building a computer is about as easy as tying your shoes. You know,
well, they are now, aren't they? Because everything is integrated onto the motherboard. There's hardly anything to do. I've looked inside and I thought, where is everything?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when you buy something that's pre-built, you're buying, you know, yestertech. You're buying technology that was popular 2 years ago, you know, because they're trying to save money, you know. So they're the company that's building the computer is buying stuff that's old, you know. I got even more stories about that.
That sounds good. I if I wasn't so lazy and I would do it, or I'm actually not so much lazy. I'm just short for time all the time, and I didn't want to build it three quarters of the way and get stuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you tell me what to buy, I would be interested in putting together a nice. What's better than a quad core desktop right now? Is it what? That's not the top of the line.
Yeah, don't get caught up with all those terms. I mean, I built a nice Haswell.
Quad core for what I do.
Yeah, they're all quad core these days. I mean, I'm not up on the latest technology. The last computer I built is the one that I'm talking through, and I built it a year ago. It's a Haswell build, but I think Broadwell is out now, but it's still quad core. They're all quad core.
Well, I just need a lot of threads because I notice what I do seems to be very processor intensive. And I bought a
what are you
top
doing?
Of, well, I'm just running my just broadcasting when I broadcast onto my stream. If I use, say the internet gets stuck waiting for YouTube to load, it seems to interrupt the audio processes if it's not a quad core.
How many gigs of RAM do you have?
I usually get 8.
You've got 8 now?
Yeah, usually. That's what I get.
Funny. How old is that computer?
Well, it's a couple of years. No, I bought it a Pentium at the time a few years ago. 2 years ago, whatever is just below quad core. And anyway, it was too slow. Might have been an i5 even. Might have been an i5, but whatever it was hiccuping every time the internet got slow.
That's odd. That should be. It sounds like you bought a Sandy Bridge chip. It should be fine. I had a Sandy Bridge chip my last computer, and it still runs fine.
No, I don't know. I never even heard of that word.
Well, I will give you a I'll give you a computer education whenever you're ready. Just hit me up on Skype and I'll help you build it. I'll go right through Newegg with you and show you what are the parts you need, and you know, and when you get all the parts at your house, hit me up on Skype again and I'll help you build it. I mean, you really don't need, it's so simple. You know, on top of the fact that they have YouTube after YouTube after YouTube video on how to build a PC, it's just so easy. You know, but then you when you build it yourself and it breaks, you know how to fix it because you built it. You know, so.
No, is Newegg better than Tiger Direct?
I always use Newegg when I'm in the States, but we've, you know, in the United States, in South Korea, we have, that's another company. I can't remember the name of it. It's sort of like Newegg, but for my friends in the States and in Canada, I always use Newegg. I don't know if it's better or not, but that's just, you know, I mean, you've got three companies. You've got Amazon, you've got Newegg, and you've got Tiger Direct, but
is
I don't
Amazon
know.
Amazon big on computer parts? Because if they are, then I'm an Amazon person now.
Yeah, yeah, you can get all the, like I could show you what to buy on Newegg, and you could just, you know, go to Amazon, and it'll be pretty close to the same price, you know. Yeah, if you're
an Amazon person, for sure.
Yeah, if you're an Amazon guy, I think you'll get like points or something.
Yeah,
You build up a certain amount of points and you start getting free stuff. So, but
for computers, you mean? Because not for regular stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been in the States in 10 years, so I don't know how it works. Last time I bought something from Amazon, I think it was David Icke's book. It was the last time I bought anything from Amazon. It was quite a while ago. Back to 9/11. It was right around that time where I started. I was talking. I had a friend on Skype, and I started you know, moaning, you know, to this guy that I've got to get out of this country, and there's something wrong with this country. And he said, well, why don't you come to Korea? And I said, you know, isn't that where they do Taekwondo? That's all I knew about South Korea was Taekwondo. And he says, yes, you know. And he says, why, you know, don't I have to go to Mars and then South Korea? How do I do, you know, what do I do to go to South Korea? And, so he showed me I got an application for a job that happened to be open, and I sent in the application and I got it. And so, you know, in less than 2 months, I was in South Korea, and I never left. I had one of my students turn me on to Loose Change, and I was shocked when I saw Loose Change. And in the credits was Alex Jones, Prison Planet. And so I wrote it down on a scrap piece of paper, and I went upstairs. I had built a computer in Korea. I'd come to Korea, and within a couple of months, I had built another computer here. I went up to my room and I went to Prison Planet, and for the next couple of years, I listened to Alex Jones and I think Jeff Rentz exclusively. Still there, Ab?
Yeah, I'm still here. So I've got my mic off, so that way you don't hear any background noise.
Ah, okay.
You can look at the TeamSpeak client. If I'm not there, I'll be gone.
Yeah, I had the monitor shut off. Yeah.
Oh, you have your computer shut off? Okay.
No, I had the monitor was just shut off. You know, so I mean, you know, that's where I started falling down the rabbit hole, you know, like Ab, I got to tell you that, you know, it's a mixed blessing, you know, I mean, you know, you distance yourself so far from the average guy in your thinking.
Oh, I know. It's painful.
Yeah. And
I know it's tough. You just can't bring it up.
Yeah. I had one of my favorite classes at the university was a media appreciation class where the professor did breakdowns on movies, and he would show you the the different allegories and metaphors in the movie, and I just loved the class, and I always I became like a movie buff after that. And in South Korea, we've got unbelievable internet speeds, you know. I mean, I'm at Kick-Ass Torrents every day, and I've got a movie collection, bar none, you know. But I've got a kick-ass movie class. Oh, man. But, you know, can the average guy understand this? And usually the answer is no, because they don't have the substructure in which to understand these things that we understand. You know, like, if you take my brother, for instance, he has a background in science and mathematics and architecture. He does not understand politics. He has never had a class in politics. He's never had a class in the humanities. He's never read literature. He's never read philosophy. He's never read a history book. He doesn't read those things. And so he doesn't understand how the real world works. You know, he understands his job. He's at his job 10 hours a day, and sometimes it's 6 days a week. And it's all mathematics and architecture and science, right? And when he comes home at the end of the day, I know what he does. He comes home and he grabs a beer and he kisses his wife and he plays with his kids and then he goes to sleep and he does it all over again, right? Sometimes he goes to his soul.
Sounds like all of us.
Yeah. And the thing is that he has no substructure in the humanities for which to understand what we're talking about. Ab, what is that quote where this guy says something like, it is a conspiracy so monstrous that the average guy can't get his head around it? What is that quote?
Well, that's always attributed to Hitler, and they say that everyone understands little lies since they do it every day of their lives, but they don't believe in big lies because they don't think it's possible, something like that.
Yeah. There was another quote that it's something about a conspiracy so monstrous that the average person cannot conceive of it. You know, and that's where we are. You know, we're living in an unreality. You know, it's the superstructure psychological op that we're living in. You know, just the idea that capitalism is a good thing and that communism is a bad thing and that your job is a good thing and not having a job is a bad thing. This is the way the average guy thinks.
Now, right? Here's the quote here. It says here, the individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. The American mind simply has not come to a realization of the evil which has been introduced into our midst. It rejects even the assumption that human creatures could espouse a philosophy which must ultimately destroy all that is good and decent.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said it's an accurate quote, however, it's missing context. It's actually about communism in the 50s.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That is the quote, and that is where we are. You know, a conspiracy so monstrous, you know, cognitive dissonance stops us from getting our heads around it. Something I talked about in my podcast is that you can only think out about 5% outside of your current paradigm, right? You've got a paradigm, you've got an idea of how the world works, and you can only get about 5% outside of that paradigm with new information before cognitive dissonance steps in and stops it. And Ab, you and I and people that go to Mammies and people that listen to a podcast like this are way outside the average paradigm. And so the average person cannot even relate to us. You know, the question of why would they do something like, you know, I don't know, why would Admiral Morrison, you know, open up on Vietnam if there were no Vietnamese torpedo boats attacking him first? And that is an admitted fact. That's admitted, right? They admitted that there were no Vietnamese torpedo boats, right? But still the average person can't understand it. They, you know, why would Israel bomb the USS Liberty? And I listened to Bob Grant defend Israel over and over. I was, you know, from New Jersey in the tri-state area, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey. And I listened to Bob Grant for years like a fool, right? Listened to him defending Israel over the USS Liberty incident over and over again. You know, calling people that would call in and say something was wrong with the USS Liberty, he would call them anti-Semites. And I would listen to that pablum bullshit over and over and over again. The average person can't get their head around it. You know, that it is it's an arc, like an arc in a good TV series. There's an arcing theme that's going on here, and people can't see that theme. They don't have the substructure in philosophy. They don't have the substructure in history to understand that this is an all-over arc. And I think it was Charles Giuliani who said it has been going on for about 2,500 years. You know, this control of banking in Jewish hands. When you start going back that far, that's when you start losing me. Like, I don't know, Ab. You know, I'm not religious. I'm not religious. And I'm also not mystical, right? But it seems to me that the only explanation for what's going on here is supernatural. You know, it's demonic. You know, what can control a society for as long as it has? I don't know. That's where you're at. That's where I am in the rabbit hole. I don't know.
You think magic controls society?
Yeah, it's not magic. It's, I don't know what it is, but it isn't human.
Human.
I don't know. I don't think anything could dog our species for this many centuries and be this consistent in evil, unchallenged, you know, without being, I don't know. I'm supernaturally demonic. I don't know. I just don't know. That's where I stop. Ab, let me tell you where I'm coming from. 2 years ago, I was happily doing a podcast, right? And I got to tell you that Dave Grissom stopped me dead in my tracks, right? One day, Dave Grissom posted the Holographic Universe Workshop on Mammies. And have you seen the Holographic Universe Workshop?
Nope.
Ab, As soon as no, this conversation is done, go to YouTube and type in Holographic Universe Workshop, right? And it goes on. I think it's parts like 1 through 6. And, excuse me, it goes on for 6 hours. And I've watched that Holographic Universe Workshop about 3 times over. I was obsessed with it, right? According to these guys, and I emailed the author, you know, was chatting back and forth in email with the author. I was so struck by this idea that since the 1950s that we have realized that life is a hologram, right? None of this experience that we're having is real, and it's provable through quantum physics. It's being proven over and over and over again since the 1950s, right? That matter is quanta until we're looking at it. And then when we're looking at it, it changes into form, right? And take a look at it for yourself, right? I'm not a quantum physicist. I don't have a background in science. However, the Holographic Universe Workshop is compelling, right? And it was at that point where I stopped doing a podcast. It was at that point where I realized that I don't know what I'm talking about, right? I'm in this rabbit hole, and I think that I've got a good grip on how things work. But when I see things like quantum physics telling me that we're living in quanta, we're not living in a hard reality. We're living in quanta, right? That, and this quanta is susceptible to our thoughts, right? That I don't know. My only thought is that I don't know what's going on. I don't know. And it was right around that time, 2 years ago, where I fell upon flat earth, right? Now, right now, flat earth is really hot, right? And I've watched them all, yes. Eric Dubé, and you know, you've watched the same ones I have, right? Mark Sargent. You know, one of the old ones was this Bolin guy, right?
Yeah.
And I watched his videos 2 years ago, right? And 2 years ago, I got laughed off of Skype with Zap Hopper and I think it was John Friend. I said, guys, what I want you to look into is the fact that our world might be flat, right? And Zap Hopper just fucking laughed me right off the channel, right? And it was the combination of this idea of flat earth. And people are missing the point with flat earth, right? The point of flat earth is not that the earth is flat, although that is a very interesting thought. The point of flat earth is that you cannot prove that it's round. You cannot prove that the earth is round. That is the point, right?
Yeah. I would call myself a ball earth skeptic, and that's mainly because we're dealing with the most aggressive, the biggest, most pervasive lying enterprise there is, and that's NASA. They're the ones that promote it. And that's as far as I go in terms of trying to figure it out. I just sit back and listen, really.
Yeah. Oh, my wife just woke up. I usually make my wife coffee.
We can pick this up later. The sun is still shining here, and it's one of the hottest days of the year. And I want to go dip my toe in some water, cool off a bit. It's really hot in here.
Oh, you have to go? I would say I could stay on for another few minutes. Just at one point, I just want to have coffee with
you.
Do you
go to work or something? It's Monday,
yeah, but not
I guess,
for
there.
Not for hours. I'm an ESL teacher in South Korea.
Okay.
I don't go to work for another 2 hours or so. But
yeah, I was going to say in about 2 hours, I might have another hour.
Yeah, but I probably got another 30 minutes. Nuna, can I get another cup of coffee, please? I usually make my wife coffee every morning when she wakes up, and
that's nice of you.
I'm talking to you, yeah. My wife is she's a Korean woman, and she's a great lady.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, it's and she's real. That's nobody's a perfect person. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect, but my wife is real. You know, she's a real nice lady. Everyone likes her, especially all the foreigners that come over here. They really love my wife. So she's a nice lady. Great cook. She always has something nice to say. She didn't start learning English until she was 44 years old. You know, she didn't know the ABCs at 44 years old. And now she's reasonably fluent. Very nice lady.
Well, that's great. Great.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Did you teach her?
Yeah. Just from talking, this is another spin-off topic that, I could talk about for hours, and that's the scam, this English scam that goes on in South Korea. It's all about making money. It's ridiculous. People don't learn languages from books. They learn languages from speaking, from using it. And,
I agree with that.
Yeah. So, the topic of flat earth, I've actually been into for 2 years, and to see it explode the way it has, because I couldn't prove it one way or the other. And I got to tell you, my hat is off to the guy that does the Jaronism YouTube channel.
Yeah, are you familiar with this guy? I just listened to a couple hours of him, and he sounds pretty down to earth. And I posted on fakeologist.com. I don't know if you look there. Yeah. All the time.
I didn't look at it yet. I'm always at Mammy's, and then when I'm done downloading stuff from Mammy's, I do go to Fakeologist. Jaronism. I love that guy, and he actually went out and bought a laser, right? He's out there checking, for the flatness of the world. And I don't know what that proves.
Shot him some coffee money. He had some crowdsourcing. Yeah. I said coffee money. I agree with if someone can send coffee money if they want to. I don't mind that. That's a no-brainer, coffee money. If 1,000 people do it, you can sometimes make things happen.
I should have thought of that. I didn't even think it.
Everyone's got coffee money. If you really want to, if the guy's got to really buy a laser, and even if he's, even if you're so skeptical, you don't believe anyone's doing anything, he's just trying to rip you off. Okay. Do you not ever give a couple bucks when you pass a guy at the stoplight who's there every single day? I usually don't, but if it's someone who really looks down and out and not making a business out of it, I've helped before.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can all do that if this is something we're into.
Good for you, Ab. Good for you. These are things that just don't even cross my mind.
He was asking for money.
Yeah. I didn't hear him ask, but I don't know. I guess I'm a cheapskate on top of everything else. You're shaming me into sending him some money. But,
all the funding models are changing for everything. Everything is changing. It's all changing because of technology and nothing more, in my opinion. So if you like a podcast, I don't have a problem paying or make a little donation or something, or if someone's trying to do something, it just seems reasonable if that's going to be their model. I'm not telling people to donate to me because I don't make a living off this, and I don't really want to be held to account. But if someone is just making a go of it, or they're trying to do something that seems real, like what he's trying to do, shoot a laser, that's something I would never do, shoot a laser across the water. I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
It would never. But it sounds like a great idea, and I would like. And if he does do it, and I can't remember if he's done it successfully, because I didn't get to that video.
Yeah.
But I'd love someone, if he does do it, to challenge him and tell me why it doesn't prove anything, because I'm sure that's the next step.
Do you hear those responses to Jaron? And I watch those flat earth guys that try to debunk flat earth. It's ridiculous. These guys come up with these non-proofs that the earth is a ball. And and that's my big thing. I was on the Wild Heretic site, and I love being intellectually challenged. There's a website called Wild Heretic, and they are concave earth, and but again, it's not the shape of the planet that was challenging. What's challenging is that you can't prove it's a ball. And the question is, why can't you prove that it's a ball? you know, everyone's been through 12 years of public education, and, you know, Americans have spent now trillions of dollars on fake NASA moon missions and fake Challenger explosions and, you know, I mean, trillions of dollars spent, and we can't prove that it's a ball. You know, I mean, this is 2 years that I, you know,
well, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm always skeptical about the money.
Skeptical about the money in what way?
Well, when I hear
that the money was spent,
I'm skeptical about how much money is spent anywhere now. Of course, the most famous money announcement was the $2.3 trillion missing dollars on September 10th, 2001. And, of course, 223 is an occult number, so I'm wondering if that's just another complete red herring that's not even close to being true. Because let's take that on face value. Do you think it's possible that our government is so incompetent with all these procedures and setups that they could have lost $2.3 trillion? See,
I don't. Of course not.
But I think that would be a good way of showing that the government is so incompetent on September 10th. So on September 11th, when the alternate theme comes that the government may have done it, then we have an immediate contradiction. And contradiction is all part of psychological operations.
Yeah, I, you know, good for you, Ab. This is why I enjoy listening to you and your program.
It's just a thought. I like to try and I take the opposing view and see if it works. Does the opposing view make more sense?
Yeah, it's
and
rational.
I think it does in this case.
Yeah, it's a rational thought process, which is, you know, uncommon. You know, I mean, I've got a friend here in South Korea who's my age, and I love him to death. He's a great guy. But I tell him these things, and he listens to me because I'm his friend. And then he immediately changes the subject to drinking rice wine. You know, and it doesn't compute, you know. I've come to the conclusion that there are certain people out there that are real, and then there are certain people out there that are NPCs, like in a video game. You know, you walk up to you're playing an online game, and there are some characters out there that are real, and you can talk to them. Oh, thanks, Nuna. And then there are just, you know, other characters that are just non-player characters. And I've come to that conclusion that we're living in this hologram, and half of us are real, and the other half of us are just non-player characters, you know?
Well, that's too far out for me. I can't go there. I just can't go there.
Go to the holographic universe, my friend.
Well,
and expand your mind. You know,
I'll try.
It's very entertaining, especially the first one. It's very entertaining.
Is it and, a 15-minute movie?
I thought it was like an hour. There's six parts to it. And each one is an hour, if I'm not mistaken. It goes on for like 6 hours, but it's great. I mean, it's very entertaining to watch. But with this warning, dude, it fries you. You know, after you see experiment after experiment that our thoughts are not coming from our heads, right? That we're living in a reality that reacts when we look at it and doesn't react when we don't look at it, you know, and these things are provable through experimentation. And I, again, your first thought is going to be, you know, where's the quantum physics? Where's the proof?
Tell you my first thought. Here it is.
Yeah. Yeah, Ab, you and I have got to be beyond that. You and I have got
to
be beyond that thought. No, you don't have to be, but I have to be. All right.
Okay,
you know,
you
and I have seen so many things. You and I have seen so much fakery, right? That the average guy is going to call us cuckoo. Right?
Oh, I know. I know. I can live with being a cuckoo for what I think, but I'm willing to check everything out once. There's no problem there, but I don't see I can't go to quantum physics because I'm well subscribed to SMJ, who's a commenter on my site and Clues Forum and Hoaxbusters, who has exposed the whole scientism nonsense.
Yeah,
the quantum physics, the nuclear physics, these are Berkeley psychological operations through and through. Mm. I have no doubt in my mind.
Have you read any of Miles Mathis?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's come across the wire. Yep.
Yeah. Miles, I've been reading a lot of Miles Mathis over the past 6 months, his essays on the nuclear explosion and atomic testing hoax. And it's eye opening, you know, combined with what you guys are doing at Fakeologist, it really makes you wonder, you know, whether this stuff is actually real or not. You know, and that's a cuckoo topic. You know, I mean, if you and I start saying that nuclear weapons and nuclear power and no atomic bombs went off over Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they would, you know, that cuckoo sound effect would go off in the other guy's head, you know.
Well, I don't care. Sorry, whose head? I missed
you know,
the
if we
part.
If you and I were telling a third person these things.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Well, yeah I agree. But SMJ has done such good research in digging up the beginnings. If you look at the origins of all these sciences and powers, boy, it's pretty easy to come to the conclusion. Yeah. I just started with the premise and reverse engineered it. SMJ's done all the work in digging up the cast of characters. It's just astounding. Astounding that you tell a lie enough with a white coat on and you can develop it in a whole business. It's fantastic.
Well, so, ask that guy to take a look at Holographic Universe and
well, SMJ, yeah, he listens to these podcasts.
Yeah,
he's on top of things. I'll for sure. SMJ, if you're listening, I'll put a link in the audio chat for July 12, 2015.
Yeah, I find that topic profoundly disturbing, and I didn't just take one video series. I watched them all, and I started reading, online stuff about this topic as much as I can comprehend. I mean, I'm not a science guy. I mean, as much as I could comprehend, and I was left disturbed. You know, it stopped me dead in my tracks. The thought that it left me with is that I understand nothing. Nothing. Right? These ideas that I think I know, forget it. Right? And listening to you and Kahem and, you know, only confirms that. You know, I mean, if you go back a year ago and you'd said to me, and I think actually Foon on Mammy said this. He said, do you believe that, the topic got going that nuclear power wasn't real, and I said, "Foon, are you serious? Like, you know, you don't believe in nuclear power?" And I thought he was crazy. You know, all these crazy conspiracy things that I think. And when he said that, I thought he was crazy. You know, and now here we are wondering, and I'm reading Miles Mathis, who shows you the photographs that these things aren't. These things aren't real.
Well, he's okay. He's I actually didn't see what he had to say about it. If you have a link to Miles Mathis and nuclear, I don't think I've read that.
Well, go to his art site. You know, I think it's mileswmathis.com or something, and then go through his essays and his 2014 essays, and you just go through the list of them . Yeah, you probably even Google it. You know, he's talking about the what was it, Bikini Island? It was the atomic tests, Bikini Island. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Yeah,
I just looked that up now.
Yeah, he shows you
the
photos.
The Bikini Atoll nuclear tests were faked. Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And I don't know what to think anymore, Ab. I don't know what to think.
You're doing your research. Hey, let me just say hi to Tim Darville, who dropped into the live stream. He's been trying to connect
Tim.
For a while. Hey, Tim. Hey, Tim. Can you hear me?
Yo, Tim.
Well, he has talk power. Let's hear you, Tim. Anyone with that name can't be all bad.
Not yet. He's probably fiddling around with the settings. It took me a while to get the settings to talk. I had to go through the mic wizard to get it to work correctly.
Yes, I better tell him that.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, so,
Okay, I think I just needed to push to talk. Whoop, I think that's Tim, how it works. You guys can hear me now?
I can hear you.
Loud and clear, yeah. Oh, okay, well, cool. Yeah, you can set it to push to talk. There's three different settings. So, yeah, push to talk is what I'm using right now as well, just so when people are making noise behind me, it doesn't blow through.
Yeah, I've been using Skype, which has none of that, so I forgot. I forgot. But nice to meet you guys. Tim Darville.
You too, Tim.
Timothy Darville. That's my full name. So this interesting talk you guys just popped in with the nuclear phenomenon, because I've been researching that same thing, and it's very it is hard to believe. It is hard to believe that it's all a hoax. But that's what a lot of people are kind of inclinating towards nowadays. And my gut feeling says that is a strong possibility. So it's, I think, you know, it's because what I've heard from like, I guess the propaganda is that they're saying like the aliens took out all the nukes. You know what I mean? So you can see it right there that they're hinting at the same thing, that they don't really got nukes no more. You know?
Yeah.
Well, aliens fits this paradigm.
Well, precisely. They're all about pushing that alien theory.
Yeah, you can take the alien stuff, and you know where you can file it for me anyway.
For sure, but that's the mainstream way of I guess them kind of like trying to make it fit their paradigm thing.
It's a mainstream way of discrediting it. Yes, that's a good one. Like, I've never heard anyone said. So you're saying it's a meme that the aliens have taken the nukes?
Well, this is like basically they've been pretending to kind of like that aliens are a thing, right? So they've been also kind of like pretending that aliens have been doing things, like, you know, that the U.S. is involved with aliens, all this stuff. So, like, I heard it from this man, David Wilcock, and like, at first I thought he was genuine, but after further review, I'm almost positive he's just misinforming people, because he's one of those people who speaks a lot about aliens. So that's what he was saying directly towards the nuke idea.
Okay. Mm. I just looked up, there's two hits in the Daily Mail from September 2010 about nukes. Aliens hit our nukes, so to me that's all nonsense.
Absolutely, because they would even show you people who would kind of like tell you like, oh, well, out of nowhere, boom, like the facility don't work, you know? Which is like it's very strange, and like it doesn't really add up, honestly.
Well, yeah, you attach crazy to skepticism, and crazy always wins.
Well, I just think it fits in their whole, like, how to make people paranoid about certain like, things. And, like, one of their big things that they want to get people paranoid about is, like, this idea that, like, you know, it's possible that aliens could come here and, like, influence us, you know?
Yeah. That's crazy talk for me.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But, like, the sad thing is a lot of people kind of subconsciously would believe that more than they wouldn't, you know, which is very strange, honestly.
Why wouldn't they believe it? Oh, my God, we have been so inundated with that alien nonsense, BS, from Hollywood since the 1950s. We've been watching these stupid alien Star Trek, Star Wars. The Day the Earth Stood Still is something that Jeff Rintz got a big hard on for. I don't even know why I listen to Jeff Rintz anymore. But yeah, even Jeff Rintz, you listen to him, and every Friday it's alien this and UFO that. It's a bunch of crap. And I find it irritating at this point. Irritating because I used to buy into it. You know, I used to think that this was somehow real. You know, I don't know what these things are, but I'm more inclined to think that I'm quite certain that what people are seeing is real, right? But aliens from a distant Star Trek galaxy, forget it, right? These things that people are seeing are monsters. I don't know. Play that sound effect again, Ab. My opinion, they're demons.
Demons? Yeah. Okay, you need the effect for that. Yeah. You get that.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
So.
But my inclination towards the whole alien theory is that it would go in the same category as like the sun worship, where it's kind of like pushing people towards feeling that there are other physical things that are superior to them. And in that same sense, it would also give me the idea that their ultimate end game is to, well, a lot of people have said this, but to fraud like an alien, like invasion or whatever, like aliens coming. And then that's kind of like their way of reestablishing this whole like monarchy strategy where, you know, they're trying to convince people that there's a higher authority in the physical presence, you know, which is seemingly one of their like kind of like fantasy things that they cling on to, you know?
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. I don't know. What's the Disclosure Project, and who's that blonde-headed chick that worked with Van Braun, who is warning us over and over again about the last card that they're going to play is the alien card? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. But one of the things that I find interesting is even though they're pushing a lot of propaganda, it almost seems like people kind of like they just kind of avoid it in some way or another. Like people aren't actually paying that much attention to like the real propaganda. So it's kind of like, you know, you see it, but people don't necessarily react to it. So, you know, it is absurd, but like at the same time, people don't know what to deal with that information because they're like, they're playing a game that's too sophisticated that doesn't work. You know, it's too, there's too many things that they think they can predict that actually like that's not what happens, you know, with people. Like they think they've got it down, but it's really like they're pretty much delusional in so many of their ideas of how to actually manipulate people, you know? So it's very strange, that whole aspect of the alien phenomenon. But it's definitely one of those things, like the way that I compare it is it's like Santa Claus, you know? It's like the whole world believes in Santa Claus and it's real, you know? And they even show you documentaries like, oh, we're at the North Pole, here are Santa Claus factories, you know? And it's all lies. And people are like, they just buy it, you know? They're like, oh, why would they lie to us? That's the main thing people have a hard time with, is why would they lie?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm there with you, Tim. Yeah. I cannot get my head around their stupid agenda. And I've been into this for years, you know, years reading this stuff and reading books before the internet and then reading the internet and now watching YouTube videos and trying to get my head around the superstructure of this stupid agenda that they've, and I can't figure it out. You know, this is why I slip into the supernatural. Like what demonic force? I mean, we live on a beautiful world, whether it's a hologram or not. It's beautiful, you know, and we're destroying it. You know, we're destroying it at the behest of these elite douchebag monsters and their lust for power and money and control. You know,
I think it all has to do with fear and kind of like basically how people would react when losing. Because it almost seems like the person that, or like if you were to personalize what they're doing, is it really feels like it's a jealous sore loser attitude. So that's kind of like what I feel it stems from. Like if you put a person in a really horrible, like, you know, they in a really horrible situation, they react very strangely. And I guess not a lot of people can like move on in a way that's like you feel at peace. So like what I see is that they've kind of like just they were kind of like persecuted at one time, and then they just basically said, you know what, we hate everyone, and that's the end of the story, you know. And they just stuck to that. Like that's the way that I see it. That they just have a profound hatred for people because of what might have happened to them in the past. You know, that's the way that I see it.
At this point, I mean, I'm a big fan of movies. Something I was talking to Ab about earlier was I'm a big fan of movies. And, that's a plus and a minus. A lot of things can be explained through metaphor and allegory. But at the same time, you can slip into fantasy. But, yeah, I mean, Sauron, you know, I mean, just the big evil eye, you know, is that what we're up against? You know, something... I don't know.
Well, I think it's quite honestly the way that I see it is it's a lot less elaborate and complex because part of the lying process is to actually do that, is to elaborate it and complexify things because it gives you an edge. It gives you a free advantage when things are complicated and they're a lie because people get lost in, you know, the details of the lies, and it, and you basically have to avoid details to notice that it's very simple and not that complex, you know? And it's really, it boils down to psychology, and the way that I see it is, it is, it's the psychology of a person that, that's, that has, that, that feels like they're, kind of like they're the, inferior one, and they can't, they don't want to be that way, you know? It's kind of like that self-fulfilling prophecy, you know what I mean? Like they, they feel inferior, and they don't want to, they don't want that to be true, so they, overcompensate and do these weird and strange things, like, you know, lie about their past or lie about whatever, because it gives them that free, that free level of complexity that, that they would associate with, you know, being superior. So there's a lot of that, like, it, like the details are really like where they win the battlefield, you know. That's where they'll come at you with details. So if you, if you stick to what's important, what's core about the ideas or arguments, then it's very easy to see when somebody's pretty much pushing propaganda, because they'll be talking about fear and things like that. But it's kind of, it's one of those things, but it, it turns into like a long story, which is also where people kind of don't want to go into there, you know? When you're talking about thousands of years of history, people are like, okay, but like, we're over that, you know? But they don't see how it's still right here with us, you know?
Yeah. Good for you, Tim, man. It's very reasonable. Good for you. Guys, I got a jet. I have got to get ready for work, so I've got to say goodbye. Ab, you still there? Oh, did we lose Ab?
I'm not sure. I think they're both muted, but well, I hear you. I'm off today, so I hear
Yeah, I got to get a jet to work. It's 8:30 in South Korea, so.
Oh, you're in South Korea?
Yeah. I left the United States like 10 years ago, and I refuse to go back. I'm not saying that it's any better here. It's not. I mean, South Korea is almost like the 51st state, but.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
I felt like they were sort of progressive, like as a population. I'm not sure. I've never judged them too much, though.
Yeah, Tim, hop back on TeamSpeak at some time, and I'll lay it out for you. It's, you know, these people are automatons. I don't know.
Good discussion. I have a huge what's called like fanism for a lot of the stuff South Korea is going through, like video games, some of their movies. Like I feel like it's very interesting, but I haven't thought about that much of the propaganda side, you know, the brainwashing or whatever in the in the program system side.
Who's that dude with the popular song Psy?
Oh yeah.
That dude was a superstar here for about 15 minutes. But all right, Tim, I got a jet. I got to get into the shower.
So. All right, well, nice to meet you, buddy.
Yeah, it was great talking to you. Yeah, great meeting you and great to talk to you. So I hope we talk again.
For sure. Take care.
Yeah. Take care, Tim.
So I guess I'm alone.
Hi, I'm Paul. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.